Tom Petty, a little like a refugee. Let's get this around the nation here at Triple M. Good morning, everybody. We heard from the Prime Minister earlier. Let's keep him on board. As I say, it's me, Tony Martin. I'll be talking
pure humbug.
Ed Cavalier's here. He's got a brand new segment.
But it's just ludicrous. I mean, nobody believes that except him.
Is he, Johnny? Yes, sir. And, of course, Richard Marsden giving the Prime Minister a sponge bath.
I think he's been incredibly generous and I thank him very warmly.
Okay. Are we all settled?
Yeah, we are now.
Hey, let's get onto that newfangled internet.
I've heard so much about it.
What about this doubts emerge on the Woolmer email?
Hang on.
The Bob Woolmer case is still wide open. Have they had a look at that security camera footage yet?
I don't think they have. No.
Remember, it was about a month after the case. They're going, yes, we will get round to looking at that footage at some point.
Well, we've got a lot of episodes of Lost to get through.
Sure.
And then we're going to have a look.
Former Australian Test captain Ian Chappell has backed claims that the so-called last email of Bob Woolmer was not written by the murdered cricket coach. Chappell was quoted as saying, "Oh, that's not at all."
It makes sense.
It's a law joke, don't it? It's a near sport joke.
Pretty much a sport joke.
Or a pronunciation joke. Police are investigating whether the email was sent by his killers. After it emerged, the language used was unlikely to have been that of a native English speaker. Now, this is word for word. Listen to this. This is the email from the late Bob Woolmer. "I would like to praise my association with the Pakistan team, but now I would like to announce my retirement after the World Cup to live the rest of my life in Cape Town. I have no lust for the job. And I will not like others to make personal remarks at me.
Yeah, that's true.
Professionally, I am open to criticism. I will be ready to continue the job if the president asks me for it. And incidentally, now is certainly time to invest in gold. Send bank details to Gold of Nigeria Corporation. Win already millions you have. Now time for penis enlargement." No! I may have added that last bit, but that bit there, I have no lust for the job.
Unless the president asks me for it, unless he buys me a drink, gets us a nice room, and really asks me nicely for it, I'm not going to keep going.
How's that? Murderer sitting there going, what would he say there? He doesn't like the job?
No.
Not making lust?
Good.
That's going to be convincing.
It's good.
You've got to have lust for job.
It's good. It's good.
I received another email from a dodgy company yesterday.
Yes.
Listen to this. This is the opening line of the email I received. "This one is shoe-in." That's as in the shoe that you wear on your foot. "This one is shoe-in to double by end of week. Huge volume spike. Very low risk and high reward." Now, I'm going to pass over the email to you. If you were sending out an email to invest in a dodgy company.
Yeah.
You need a convincing sounding name for your company.
First things first.
Read out the name of the company I've just highlighted. Right,
there we got there. The Real American Company.
The Real American Company. Look, we need a name that sounds like Real American Company. That's good.
You're good.
What else do they say?
This company is going to the top. Your radar. Get in before it runs.
It's running already. And then at the bottom, look at this. There's so much poetry in these dodgy emails. Don't you find? If you read them aloud, it's got, look, the last line of the email is baffling, but this is what it says from the Real American Company. "Now the surging nuggets hit the road for five straight."
Damn right, Danny. I need a click on my fingers.
Oh, those surging nuggets. I'm going to get by those surging nuggets. I'll be a millionaire. they harness the power of the surging nuggets being provided by the real American company.
Maybe Richard's got it right. Maybe it's not foreign shysters. Yeah. Maybe it's local beat poets trying to appeal to the corporate fat cats.
trying to raise money for a bongo drum. Do the poetry by it. I like it.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Okay, the president of the real American company's here. You may know him as Bob Woolmer. Good God, what else is going on that shonky old internet?
Yeah, it's a shonk fest.
The International Observer, your constant companion in Kavali, you were telling me this morning someone is trying to steal her. It's not the real American company, is it?
Oh, well, he may be involved. It's this dude called, like, Toyota Prius or something. From that she knew they went to like Spain or something romantic together years ago. It's not impressive, Richard.
Why is his name Toyota Prius?
No, it's something else, but I can't remember what it was. It's like Priamo. She's like, oh, I got an email from Priamo. So what's I was like, what's Priamo? What's Priamo up to? Oh, he just he invented BlackBerries, so he's rich, and he's just saying how he just bought another house, but he's going back to uni because he doesn't think he's done enough for orphans. So he's probably going to do 4 years of caring for children that he's never met before.
How can you tackle this guy?
I'm finished.
4 years of orphan work and the inventor of the BlackBerry.
Finished. And I'm standing there, literally standing there in my slippers, eating a free, eating a bowl of free Special K that I got.
That's probably not helping.
Saying, look, it's got almonds in it. You can have a bite of this if you wanted to.
Jesus,
Prio? Are you suggesting that the International Observer Priamo Tiamo? Is that what you're thinking? Something going on on the side?
I guess so. Yeah. So it's a shonk fest, and every day he just sends these like loaded emails, like, "Oh, I was just thinking of you while the, you know, while the rain drips softly off my new catamaran, while I took 60 kind of crippled orphans to get new faces
and blackberries for everybody.
Yeah, at a hospital I've just built." Out of egg cartons for the last 3 years.
Wow.
It's disgusting.
Now, see, if this was Passion High, Richard, the nerds would have to band together. We are going to have to come up with a plan, you and I.
Absolutely.
To stop the BlackBerry guy from stealing Ed's girl.
The BlackBerry millionaire.
Is the Observer familiar with your body of work?
What are you talking about?
April.
Yeah.
Across that. The show.
It's funny you should say that, Rich.
The cat stories. It doesn't compete.
Yeah, see, the thing is, Rich, when I go home and everybody says, well, how was your day? And I go, great. I found this story about a cat that caught a bus. It was incredible. We laughed for minutes. Then I had a soup. It's not as impressive as you might think. While wearing the same grey jumper, I mean, every single day.
How are you going to compete with the BlackBerry millionaire? We've got to formulate a plan.
That's what we need.
Maybe we'll get to that next on Get This.
Boy.
Not seen. In fact, an arms race, is that?
I thought it was a thing.
One of those bands they're calling a MySpace.
Yeah, I reckon this is a... Rich, you'll be in on this. You love the conspiracy theory. I reckon the record companies are saying that about bands to try and make it sound more organic.
Oh, right. I'm with the whole Arctic Monkeys business.
This is what I'm saying.
Everyone wants a bit of that.
The groundswell. But you know what the thing is about the MySpace bands? Is that
what is it, Rich?
They have the immediate fame. Because they played about 3 gigs, but very big on MySpace, and then suddenly, oh my God, it's a stadium!
It's true.
Got to try and perform to 40,000.
Vodafone Arena. I just love the idea that thousands of years from now, archaeologists will dig up Vodafone Arena.
This was the Colosseum where people came for ringtones.
What about that internet? What have you found on it, Richard?
I've uncovered some magic. Join the phenomena that is SaveGusAndDave.com.
Oh, the Gus and Dave from the KFC ad, played by Ed Cavalier.
What do you mean?
And his mate.
Well, that's what it says on that page. Yeah, the phenomena. I mean, I could read you this whole thing. Fate has brought you a website dedicated to bringing back the two most enthusiastic KFC stars this generation has ever seen. These two lovable characters enriched our lives, and we know they touch yours. Mm-hmm. In case you've been living in Richard Marsland's bed for the past year, what exactly is that? Under 6 or 7
Petri style.
You'd know they got their big break in the KFC Steve Wex burger commercial in 2006.
Yeah.
But since then, nothing.
Yeah, this was after Ed kept talking about the ad on our show, which I thought was just creating positive publicity.
That's MySpace style. We were going to play Vodafone Arena, I thought. We were looking good. We had a groundswell.
To our show, they just walk in and order a different burger.
What are you doing for the old tour?
Just make out.
So much on
this is why the ads aren't on anymore.
That that's helping.
Erotic subject.
I didn't write it. I didn't write it.
SaveGusAndDave.com. So yeah. Much on here. Because everyone's getting a petition going. Paris Hilton got a petition going.
Yeah,
a petition going to bring back Gus and Dave. Also, some wonderful pictures on here. Gus, international fashion god. Not since Flavio Briatore started lollygagging his way around French beaches have we seen someone so sexy. His outfits were a hit with the hot KFC chick in the ad. She knows she wants some Gus.
She does.
But why bother reading GQ for fashion advice? Just look to the master. The picnic pink, the Marsland beach blue, the I wish this said pavement t-shirt, the I love Binder green. You can email them at meplums@savegusanddave.com.
Wow, we'll go there and get on board that petition.
So what it's saying, so this is going to be, this is going to be money for me, isn't it, somewhere down the line?
It's really great.
It's either going to be a lawsuit or some cash for me.
Geez, that is a weird head, isn't it? He's looking at himself.
Look at that. Look at that. That's great. Good work, guys.
I'm going to back some jokes, so I'll just get that.
Oh, no. He's in a robe. You want to know what's going to happen on robe this weekend? Here we go.
Dear,
no, okay, Rich. Don't be upset. I'm not going to read your robe jokes out.
No, they're not my... They're my get this jokes.
Okay. Well, stay tuned for them.
Yeah.
Hey, you mentioned Paris Hilton and, you know, have you seen the latest new weekly?
Has she been bashed up by a lesbian gang yet?
Not yet.
Why? No. Why do the lesbian gangs have to wait for her to get into jail? Take her to the streets, y'all. Come on, girls.
Can Paris survive a night in here?
Mm.
Have a look at this.
Oh, no.
Dirty wooden headrest. Thin, soiled mattress.
Rough. Was it soiled before?
Rough toilet roll.
Rough.
Soap, the only toiletry allowed. Blue with no seat or lid. Yes, it's a single room at the San Francisco Hilton.
Have a look at that.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's all right.
And then, oh, panic button. There's a panic button.
What's in the cell.
I don't know. It's like calling room service. I'm panicking. The mattress is too thin and soiled. Oh, my God, the headrest is dirty and wooden.
What am I going to do?
Oh, heavens. Look at this, the new weekly's going into detail, saying Paris keeps saying this is way too harsh for what she did. The judge is going to be sorry when they carry me out of here in a body bag.
No, he's not.
It'll be a Gucci body bag.
It'll be a beautiful bag.
It will be a beautiful bag. Not looking forward to
lovely bag.
The strip search, apparently. Although they will be providing her with a pole so that she'll be able to at least do it.
And a focus camera.
Just to make her feel at home.
Customary style.
Just to make her feel at home. And then the new weekly's got the old Paris's daily diary. They've obtained her daily diary and then they're comparing it to the jail diary.
Right. What have we got?
I'm more interested in just her normal daily diary. 10 a.m. wake up. 11 a.m. casual breakfast with close pals.
Oh, casual.
12 p.m. shopping in Beverly Hills, and then 3 p.m. every day for Paris Hilton spray tan and hair appointment. Every day, just to get a new coat put on. And then 8 p.m. Dinner with little sister Nikki. That's every night
over her.
11 p.m. hit the LA night spot.
Bang.
Whereas, of course, in prison. Well, basically her daily diary is just represented by a picture of some ham on a plate.
Have a look at that. That's the meal she'll be eating.
Mmm.
Ham, one egg, and what's the other thing she's getting? Sort of chicken runoff?
Dear, dear. Just with a coating of spray tan over the top. I'd like
she's like the Harbour Bridge. Once they finish painting her at one end, they have to start at the other end all over again.
Well, that's what it's going to be like behind bars for Paris.
It's Devon. It's not ham, Tony. She's having a Devon lunch. She's being sentenced to a childhood in Brisbane by the sound of things.
All right, we have time for that. How many minutes have we gone, Nikki? We've crapped on so long.
6 minutes.
Let's have some music and we'll be back. With
Sizzle City, Dangerfield.
Dangerfield fans.
And then hunting news.
I can't believe how the listeners are getting behind this idea of adding Rodney Dangerfield.
I love it.
Using digital effects.
I love it.
To different movies.
Let's see.
See what they've come up with next. I'm Get This. The B52's Rome. It's Get This on Triple M. Good morning, everybody. Mm. Here just joining us. Brought to you by the Nissan Navara.
Oh, dear.
Oh, that is
that huge pulling power.
That is some grunty 4x4 action.
Pure humbug.
Hey,
Johnny.
Come on.
I never like the Navara.
It's got a funny face. He's got a funny face.
Did you see that picture of him when he was in school? He never looked like a normal human. So wonderful. And the idea that he's won popularity contests his whole life. It goes against everything the playground stood for.
it's all about bullying or something, that story.
Don't show the picture of him as a school kid if you try to get rid of bullying.
It's going to give them... This is our target, people.
I saw that picture. I wanted to go back to school and get into some bullies.
Get stuck in. I got more bullied. Get some cash.
Did you not get bullied?
No. I got bullied. Not really. I'm trying to think if I did. I can't remember. You, Rich?
Yeah. I did.
Did you?
Yeah, no, it's not pretty. It's not good.
Not funny.
It is. No,
I was certainly on the list, but I just had one step ahead of them.
You would have made some good gags. They would have liked the gags.
No, there were bad gags in those days.
Bad gags?
No, bad. Nothing but bad gags.
What material were you running?
Puns, I think. I was being dunked into the toilet, I'd be like, yes, fair enough. Absolutely. Another one for me, please.
Yeah, please.
No excuse for that.
Now,
news.
Hit me.
Big news.
Victorian.
Yeah.
Premier Steve Brackett.
Oh, yes, the 7-Eleven man.
He's been accused of wasting $200,000 of taxpayers' money
on hair oil
in an effort to teach drunk hunters to shoot more accurately. The money was said to have funded a visit from a U.S. duck shooter and ballistics expert who spoke with shooters over the weekend.
Right.
Now, I was there over the weekend, and it was great. And this morning I have been drinking like a fish. I've already had at least a box of wine, and I've... you're right, if you're getting away those ducks, the drunker I get, if you are, you'll get your ducks, corrupted ducks, you'll get yours. Sorry.
Are you shooting cats now?
Hey, Richard. That's not okay.
No,
the cavalry way. I asked for an animal, Rich. Don't say for a cat.
I knew it would be a talking point.
Are you still in character?
No, I'm out now. Sorry, I'm me again.
Oh, okay, and scene. Here's some legal news.
That's what I did for my Nighter audition.
Okay, while you're in Melbourne, I've got some Melbourne news. Melbourne's oldest cemetery could be open for business again within months of the state government of Stevie Brax has its way.
Stevie Brax.
The operators of the Melbourne General Cemetery, the Necropolis, have 41 new grave plots for sale. They would cost on average $20,000 each.
What?
They'd be well appointed, though. Immaculately presented Tuscan style luxury concierge preps, I'm guessing. Wouldn't they?
Lovely.
Imagine with the estate agents out the front showing you through with the blue suit and everything.
Manhattan style, isn't it?
What? New York loft style. Sex of the City style. Living, dying, dead. A piece of Manhattan 6 feet below Melbourne. That's how they'll be promoting it.
Yeah, how's that?
Your luck. The Necropolis. They'll have to. That'll be given some New York-sounding name. Like, isn't there Tribeca Apartments in Melbourne?
Oh.
Tribeca, but doesn't Tribeca, that refers to...
Below Canal.
Yeah,
it's
an acronym for something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Triangle Below Canal. Below Canal Street.
There you go.
I've got all of that in Melbourne now, haven't I?
Yeah.
I love that. I told you I got shown around Pentridge Apartment.
Lovely.
By a guy going, mate, sex in the city style living, New York style warehouse apartment, in the former 8th Division, mate. Beautifully appointed shanks in every room. Rodney fans have been on the blow.
People love this idea.
Dangerfield fans.
I'm using this digital technology.
Now, see, this is what sparked it as well. I haven't listened to this, so look amongst yourselves while I find it.
Adding the late Rodney Dangerfield to just any film at all using that Forrest Gump-style technology.
What have you got for us?
Arnold Schwarzenegger is back in the new Terminator film, but he's in digital form.
Right.
We can span his entire career from the 80s Terminator to the iSchool T2 version.
Right.
So they can get anything they want. They can get Kindergarten Cop and just crack it into the Terminator.
So they don't need him to quit being governor. They just get existing footage and create a new Terminator from that.
Yeah. Some of that. Some of Jingle All the Way in the new Terminator 4 would be good news. But I trawled through the YouTube last night and I found some... actually, you know what, Rich? It's time for the arts. Do you have a classy sting? I've got a classy sting ready because we're going to delve into the arts soon. But I found on the YouTube last night, Rodney Dangerfield was in Macbeth with Sir Ian McKellen.
Oh, is this the art segment?
Richard Marsden on violin.
What are you talking about? Rodney Dangerfield and Sir Ian McKellen.
Well, in an amazing exchange, in the Scottish play Macbeth, an early film version by the BBC, have a listen to this.
Start off I know I'm a Mr. Boston to make me a zombie. Tell me God beat him to it.
Can let me curse it.
Boy, that's the story of my life. No respect. Don't you know this?
That's taken care of.
That is the hard boot at home.
Listen to that.
What about the world's biggest whingers?
Well, I'm about to whinge because that deserves more love from you two. Do you know how long it takes to try and get Rodney Dangerfield, some of his lines and his stand-up, to sync up with Macbeth?
Well, I guess...
16 hours of, my wife,
you just don't get no respect.
I can't get no respect.
We'll be back with the world's biggest whinger next.
We all had our little problems, don't we?
Triple M, thanks to the Nissan Navara. Nissan Navara, that's what I was saying there.
Navara? I'm slightly frightened
because,
you know,
it's just got so much pulling power.
No, Ed Cabley's here.
Rather than do a substantive speech to demonstrate that he had credibility, he cut a TV ad.
Yeah.
And I think that just about says it all.
Yeah, a lot of people are calling in about this campaign to bring the Gus and, who's the other bloke?
Save Gus and Dave.
You don't really notice the other bloke when Gus is on screen.
Yeah, he's fodder.
This was a real website. I know it sounds like something we've made up, Richard, so can you just give the address again?
SaveGusAndDave.com.
Mm. And why not check out Squid on your YouTube? Mm. Hey?
All right, look, there's a lot to get through here. We are running late. We've got a time limit now on the show.
Something unacceptable happened to have that time limit extended.
All right, probably those blips. It was the ducks blowing out the running time. So get on and vote for Gus.
Mm.
We want to do some whinging. We promised that next. But let's have some rock music, can we, Mr. Just get some. What can you do for us, Richard?
Something like this.
That's Eagle Eye Cherry. Here, get this on Triple M. Hello to our Brisbane listeners. They're the only people who would have understood that.
No, everyone who's not in Brisbane.
Oh, okay.
They say it's bad on for Brisbane at the moment. Oh. Thanks to that song.
Featuring dolphins eating out of your hand.
Now, I grew up in Brisbane. I didn't even remember any dolphins.
Well, maybe you better get back there. All dolphin action.
Bust some in, have they?
Hey, let's climb a certain
mountain.
I've done a winter poll. You think that, you know, the British might come out on top because they're famous for being whingers.
Yes.
And? At least in jokes.
And?
Only second.
Who won?
The French! The French are the world's biggest whingers. Those whinging frogs. We've got to readjust all our stereotypes.
Now, does that mean the English are the guys with the onions around the neck on the bicycle and the berets?
They can be that from now on.
That'll do nicely.
Britain has come in second with Sweden.
Good on them.
Britain, Sweden is those whinging Swedes.
You didn't think that? I wasn't expecting that.
What have they got to whinge about?
They're so flush with tax funds and
sexual activity.
Oh, gosh.
Blondness.
Oh, goodness.
Norska.
Oh, goodness.
Vulva and Fjord.
Ooh.
I said vulva.
You did.
Did you like that?
You did.
I was referring to that Spanish film. I wasn't referring to anything rude.
Maybe it's just all those little leftover bits of things from IKEA packaging.
You think it is? It's Alan Key frustration.
Yeah, giving people the air enough.
The vulva is what I was
saying. I know
for.
What you're looking
for. What are they complaining about? It's almost a rude word, clearly. Okay, the Swedes. The British, how's that? Well, I think we've got to reclaim our titles. I think, come on. Australia, we can have a whinge, can't we?
Can we ever?
That's why we have AM radio. Yes, you're listening to Triple AM.
And what do you think?
Well, Tony, I'm sick and tired of people marrying their cousins and sending the photographs into the newspaper.
It's a cousin marrying nanny stuff.
Look, Kathy Eastern.
Oh, no, no.
From your Courier Mail yesterday. I shan't say their names, but well, come on, who are you fooling?
Okay. Now, Richard was saying that there's a girl that he's been stalking for years.
No.
What happened, Rich?
No, I said a girl that I had a crush on at university recently got married, and I saw her photograph in the paper, and that is a significant moment, I think, in any man.
You said it looked like she'd married her dad.
So old.
Not on my watch.
Many issues that I like to have a whinge about.
No, Tone. ABC program.
Well, that's just the whole thing. Why just mate? That's not, you wouldn't hear that on a radio show at all, on any radio show.
What do you got?
You know, current affairs show, saying after this break, and then you sit through the break, and it's just a preview for tomorrow night's story.
Entertainment Tonight.
What do you think?
Sure.
Give us a call. Other issues that I like to have a whinge about are Botox. You know?
It's not working for you.
It's just...
They're not looking fulsome to
it. It looks ridiculous, Botox. And now, proof at last. Look at this. I haven't frowned in 20 years, boasts Botox Queen. This was on the cover of the Adelaide Advertiser yesterday. There are no worry lines on Botox pioneer Jean Carruthers' brow. She's not frowned since 1987 when she realized the power of the neurotoxin she has helped make the world's most popular cosmetic treatment. I now show you her picture, and is that what you want to look like?
Oh, no.
Okay. If you fancy looking like Eric Stoltz in Mars, then get hold of this wonderful breakthrough where you inject disease into your face.
You know what?
It's botulism, people. That's why it's called Botox.
You know what it is? It's as if at all times somebody's going her in the shins with a whippersnipper on low. So it's not really cutting through. It's just annoying. She's kind of,
but she's unable to frown.
Yeah. Just kind of slight annoyance. That's awful.
Spot these weird-ass shiny foreheads all over the place.
Everywhere.
Is something going on with Kylie Minogue's face? I don't know.
Oh.
Yes, Nikki, you're in the women's mags. Even she's not going with
me. Oh, dear.
Mm.
Okay, Rich.
All right.
Have a win.
You know when you go to the shops and you'd like to get one of those dockets so you can get discount petrol? But you have to spend over, I think it's $50 or something to get one of the discounts.
Simply not. Come on, our watch.
That's right. That's like a proper win. Good work.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to whinge at like the retail area because I know it's very tough. Tough market out there.
Yeah, good on you, Rich.
People are working hard for a dollar, but it's annoying. I mean, I want to get some discount petrol.
Right.
I want to save 4 cents on it.
I know you do.
You can get that money back on the cheap Chiquitos next to the cash register.
You know
how to play them, huh?
Yeah, come on, Richard.
Anything else you'd like to whinge about?
Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
Let's let the listeners get a bit of this action. Call us with your whinge. Let's not let the Swedes and the French and the British take our whinging crown.
Thank you. Give us a ring. 133353.
Thank you, Lincoln Park. Yeah. What I've done here, I get this on Triple M, and today we're saying, you know, let's some system, you know,
Let it out.
As we go, Triple AM. Who's got to win?
Hi, Michelle.
Good morning, gentlemen.
What would you like to whinge about?
The way the young folk drive, they have no regard for my safety whatsoever.
No regard.
No
regard. What happened, Michelle?
Oh, they just get to roundabouts and they just don't care. I'll be indicating for miles ahead.
Yep. You're right, Michelle. You know why? Because they got their face in like three iPods at once. You know what I mean?
Straight, brother.
They're texting. Their emo fringes are down to their chins. They can hardly see through them.
They like to concentrate on the job at hand.
Absolutely right.
Vehicle.
Thank you, Michelle.
Good afternoon.
Well, wow, you've really taken to this then.
Michelle, tell me what we're all thinking.
Who else has got a problem?
Paul, how are you? Paul, are you there?
Michael,
sorry, you there, mate?
Yeah, mate, how are you going?
Excellent. What are you going to whinge about?
People calling me Paul.
Last night for a birthday.
Yep.
Took the family along and thought we'd have a nice little surprise and took a cake to dinner.
Yep.
And when we got there, we got told they had charged a $10 cakeage fee.
A cakeage fee? Outrageous. What is that about?
Oh, no idea.
Just carrying it to the table.
Yeah, exactly right. They stored it in their fridge.
This is, Michael, this is a cakeage nanny state.
Oh,
and
And did you go for the option of saying that you had to bring a special cake for, like, dietary reasons? You might have put out of that. Did you try that?
Well, I ended up saying, no, thank you. We'll take the cake home. We won't even have it here. Yeah. But because they got brand new cash registers there, they forgot to put their $10 cake each feed button. So we got away with it last night.
Ah, good on you. Good on you. Good on you.
Trap the young restaurateurs.
Paul did this again. Who else has got to win?
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, guys.
Tell me what you win.
People who get out of their car at a drive-thru bottle shop.
Oh! Dad, you work at a bottle shop?
No, I'm just, you get behind them and they go through and 10 minutes later come out with one beer.
You're right, Paul. If you can't get the West Coast coolers handed to you in your car, you shouldn't be there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I like people who just walk through, too, and queue up with the cards.
And elderly drivers as well.
Oh, yeah.
Chuck him in. Yeah, chuck him in. Good effort, Paul.
Thanks,
mate. Who else deserves to die?
Hi, Alex. How are you?
How you doing, mate?
Well, we're good. Have a win.
The banks.
Have they done today?
What have they done today? Well, you work all day long and they work 9 to 4.
Yeah.
You go down there, try to take a loan out or to put some money in, they're closed.
Yeah.
They've never heard of a Saturday job.
No, they haven't. You're right, Alex. And they're really self-righteous about their 4 o'clock as well. If you show up at 2 minutes...
9 ain't good enough.
They're always kicking you out for not being... I'll show up there. With a bicycle helmet on and a machete at 2 to 4, they shut the doors in my face.
2 to 4 is great because suddenly, at 2 to 4, extra tellers disappear from nowhere. They bust in from other branches.
It's true.
And the queue just disappears.
Oh,
you don't see a queue at 4:10.
Absolutely right.
But what is going on between 4 and 5? What are they doing in the bank, do you think, Alex?
Oh, he's dropped out. Alex is gone.
Alex is gone.
He's that angry.
Another victim of the bank. I say they're having sex.
Oh, hi, Jill. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. What do you have a whinge about?
I'm whinging about that guy that got all the money for being bullied at school.
Oh. What about him?
Well, I don't care about him. I'm worried about me.
Oh.
I got hit with a rock.
Mm.
I got hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just bullied for years, and I got nothing.
Whoa. Okay, so how much?
Not good enough.
On the $1 million scale, how much do you reckon you're up for?
At least $1 million.
At least a million.
Come on, I've got to be getting something.
How did they get the car into the classroom, Jill? Amazing.
In the driveway.
Oh, quite an amazing piece of bullying. And hit with a rock. Surely you'd see them coming, Jill.
Well, we were down there. We had like a creek down the back and we were down doing some crappy science experiment and everyone was throwing rocks and I got hit with one.
Tell me, Jill, did you do the science experiment where you had to find out how much feces was in the local creek?
Oh.
No.
No, that's what we did.
$1 million coming your way, Jill.
Well, thanks, Jill.
Sure.
Absolute nanny.
Having your bag with your exercise books just pipped down 2 flights of stairs. Would that be how much for that?
$10.50.
$10.50?
Yeah, sliding stuff. Did you see that kid that got all the money?
Yeah.
A very insensitive gentleman that I know, who shall remain nameless, said that. He said to me, look at him. Red hair, glasses, big and fat. Of course he got pushed around.
That's not the way to look at it. What I love about that story, they gave him a payout for a lifetime of bullying in school, which has affected the rest of his life.
Mm.
Here's his name, here's his face, here's where he's from.
Yeah. That's a lifetime of bullying. Does that mean that I can have a go now? I've got a clean slate for the rest of my
life.
Maybe
the guy wants another mill.
Maybe he does.
Go around again.
What's going on?
I don't like it when fat people complain about bullying. Because they've got bulk on their side. We didn't have that.
Right.
We were just blowing around in the wind like twigs. At least a fat person can sit on somebody.
So put it away, fat boy. Finally, Jim, how are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad, fellas. How's it going?
We're good, mate. What are you going to whinge about?
I had lots to whinge about. I had to go to Tassie for work last week.
That'll do. That's horrible. Yep.
And they've kind of got a problem with not being able to display who doesn't and does not take Visa card or F-Pass.
Oh, really?
And what do they do? Why are they playing hard to get in that department?
Oh, I don't know, mate. It was really weird, because I went to a parking garage and I went to pay for the my work credit card there, and I was just like, sorry, we don't take this. We've never taken this. And I was just like, that's huge. So I had a stand-up argument with the guy at the front.
Stand-up argument. Well done, Jim. Thank you for taking the high moral ground. Our friends from Tasmania.
Also, John Howard looks like Stewie off the Family Guy. Hey, the little baby.
Jim, that's the first time I've heard that. You're absolutely right.
And they
need a new voice, because that's wearing off, the Stewie voice. Maybe we've just got to get,
you're a humbug, coming out of that mouth.
Thank you, Jim.
Beautiful.
All right. We've claimed our position.
Wonderful.
At the top of the whinging ladder.
Winch bed.
Top that, Sweden, France and England. We'll be back with Jane Allsop in the next hour.
Haven't got a clue.
Either
that or eating too many burgers.
How did that turn out?
It turned out very good, actually. For a lovely son who's turning one next week.
Can he program the internet for you, do your preferences on the email?
Pretty much. Pretty much.
Can they talk? They can talk at one, can they?
In a way.
Do anything? Anything of interest?
Yeah. No, it's very interesting. Well,
Sorry. We just know nothing about children on this show. Nikki, our producer, is
she's got one.
Yeah, she's got one. She knows all the stuff.
One? She's got one.
All that nappy changing business.
She's across all that.
Rich isn't that one, too.
Yeah, just for the show.
Yeah. Making one for the show.
Yeah.
Last night on the news, they did some kind of PlayStation convention. And there were 6-year-old kids talking about screen resolution.
Don't buy this one, inadequate pixels.
So that's the thing, in a couple of years, you'll have someone who can do all of your mobile phone programming.
Oh, yeah, he knows about the remotes, the mobiles, he's got it all down pat, technology.
Enough about that. What about you, Ms. Nolan Brown?
Very fine work, right?
Oh, thank you.
We're going to talk about that today.
We are.
Yeah, because do you ever get mistaken for somebody else?
It's Katie Lang.
Katie Lang, obviously.
Remarkable.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I get mistaken for mostly cartoon characters, the guy from the For Dummies books.
Yeah.
Funny when you get mistaken for a cartoon character.
A little bit like Where's Wally?
Yeah, that's
If it's the hat, stop wearing
that striping top.
Yeah,
I don't. And Mr. Martha.
Hang on, Jane.
Yes.
Who do you think Martin thinks that he looks like? A Hollywood actor.
Oh, I know. Yeah, off Arrested Development.
Jason Bateman.
That's
not bad. Because he pushes around Ewan McGregor.
Oh,
that's
what he thinks. Come on.
All right, Ewan, push yourself some buttons, and we'll be back for a proper chat next time. Get this. That'll be Brian Adams. You never know what we'll play here at Triple M. Get this. It's the second hour. Some more applause for Jane Allsop.
That's right. Just some child, not mine.
How many more on the way, Jane?
Oh, a plethora.
Really?
Yeah. No, you know what I really learned from having Indy was next time I will complain so much more in the hospital and get on the really good stuff.
Oh, really?
You know, I think I was too brave. Yeah. You know, when they said rate your pain 1 to 10, I was six. Yeah. Okay, here's a Panadol.
Yeah.
You know, and I think one of the great things about having a baby is just how your dignity flies out the window.
Really?
You know, and when the lady comes in and says, you know, to get you out of pain, I will need to put my finger up your bottom and give you this morphine suppository.
Yeah.
And at that point,
you realize you're really not a nurse.
No. And you're really at that point where you could say, double up the medication and use 2 fingers.
Yeah. That's what somebody really needed to do during the Eurovision Song Contest. It was up to 6 on the pain level.
It's too slick, Tone. Like, the problem with it is it's too slick. It's too many blokes in all, like, boy bands with white hooded jumpers.
Yeah.
Bring back the old school days when they're in traditional dress.
Television is getting too slick.
Too slick, Tone.
Less Australian Idol, more potluck.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Get back to the era that you've been paddling about in the blankety blanks, era. And if you haven't heard, we've got Jane Allsop here, but she could be Nolene Brown. That's how uncanny the impression is. Impression, that's a terrible thing to say. So I guess there's sort of two modes, isn't there? You have to play the real Nolene Brown.
Yes.
And sort of the on blankety blanks.
Yes, that's right.
Wow.
And it was great, you know. I mean, I actually wear a wig in the film, and it was a real indication of how damaged my genuine hair is, but it just blended seamlessly. Totally synthetic wig. Yeah, half and half.
Did you have out the old hips of Blankety Blank?
I did indeed.
You're all running again on Foxtel.
Oh, they're
all
right. Hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
They're hilarious.
So orange. You've got to really adjust the colour on your TV for a while there.
That was the palette, wasn't it? Brown and orange.
Yeah.
That was the palette we were working
for. It was a lot more carpeting.
Just carpeting straight up the wall.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
It doesn't need to be restricted to support.
So who were the... You had your ugly Dave Gray.
Yeah.
Yep. Played by young Bruce.
Bruce Sampson. And we had people call in saying, Andy, I think, on your MySpace page,
homeboy,
wants us to celebrate August, because we've been saying, what do we do for August? Because we've had a lot of success with April here on the show, James.
Course.
People are saying August, people dressing up as a ball.
Takes a lot of work.
All piracy month.
Yes.
This guy wants all goods. It's just all goodie stamps for a whole month.
Fantastic.
But he does a brilliant job, as I did Dave. But you didn't really, there was no Stuart Wagstaff.
Mm.
No. There wasn't enough
should have
to
been.
Do everybody. Obviously.
There should have been, because that stuff is gold. And I mean, as you know, having seen it, Stephen Curry is average.
Best day. Quite amazing.
He's extraordinary.
They could have gone through everybody on the census form and not found someone to look more like Graham Kennedy.
Totally. And he's absolutely extraordinary. He just doesn't. Yeah. I mean, I think the whole weight gain, weight loss thing was probably, you know. Yeah. I mean, that always impresses the critics, doesn't it? You know, De Niro, Raging Bull, Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
You know, Tony Collette. It's sort of a cheap shot at getting crazy.
You think so? Just getting fat and losing it.
I'm thinking about getting anorexia for my next book to get a little bit of...
Well, I know that when they were doing Biggest Loser auditions,
those guys are just looking for that same kudos.
Well, I know somebody that worked on it, and he said that people would show up and say, well, I'll put all this weight on for the show.
Get the show and then be stuck with an extra 30 kilos.
Jesus. Take up darts.
But do you know what else is fantastic? One of the articles I saw had a picture of Stephen Curry, and it said, you can see here, having lost the 15 kilos, how remarkable the resemblance is to Graham Kennedy. They'd actually used the photo where he'd put on weight. He was wearing a fat suit. So I don't know how fat they thought Stephen Curry was. But he should probably have been on Celebrity Overhaul or something if he was seriously as fat as they think.
He's always been a boomba. That's Stephen Curry.
Yes.
We've got more to talk about. Do you want to do that next? Yeah. Who are we hearing from now, Mr. Marsden?
Mika!
Give us one of your fancy FM intros to it.
Well, this goes straight into vocals.
So what would you do in that situation, Rich?
You for Mika, that's Grace Kelly at Triple M.
I want to talk to you.
Not even you.
The last time we talked, Mr. Smith, you
get this on Triple M. Jane Allstop is with us from The King. Where's that on? Is it this Sunday?
It's on Sunday at 8:30, TV1.
This is probably the most publicity anything on Foxtel has ever got, surely.
I know. They've done a fantastic job of publicising it, I reckon.
What are you saying? Flavour of Love got more.
Repeats of Allo Allo had some real success.
Real cutthroat happening there. And what's the story with, and I don't want to get you into any trouble, but that you were playing Nolene Brown, but you weren't allowed to contact the real Nolene Brown?
No, I didn't get the opportunity to speak to her.
Has there been some trouble, has there?
What did you do to Nolene?
Well, she went behind the film.
She wasn't on board as an actual consultant, so no, I couldn't contact her directly, and but I went off the Blankety Blanks tapes.
Right.
And I mean, she's extraordinary. I would have loved to have been able to talk to her.
Well, you've done well, considering, because it's not just all Blankety Blanks. There's quite an intricate relationship between you and Graham.
This is true. Bit of a cow.
Yeah, it's a great scene with a cow. Very nice livestock cameo.
That's right.
Some of its best work.
That's going straight on the show, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And show business family, tell us about your husband or partner.
Yes, that's right. He's the Mitre 10 man.
Oh, wow.
On all the big...
Look at him carefully.
100-foot billboards.
I think that could have been me.
Well, yeah. I remember hearing about that agent. I can wear a tool belt with the best of them. What do you mean? What is he just like Hey, come and get some wood.
Here's Martin. All the help you need.
Ah, right. Is he wearing a nail belt?
Just for a bit of a promo there. No, I like it when he wears a nail belt, I have to say. Does it for me.
Yeah, is he? Because he's the Mitre 10 Blake, does that mean he has to be across all the skills associated with that?
No, he's pretty good. He's an ex bricklayer, so he knows his trade. So he's quite a handy man.
Do you two look alike?
I hope not.
Great. There's a lot of that going on.
Right. That's the obsession at the moment.
That's my thing at the moment.
Couples that look the same like Mick and Bianca Jagger, I think, started that.
That's a good one.
Started that trend years ago.
Yeah.
Posh and Betts emerging into one.
Yes. See, there's an interesting thing with Brad Pitt, too. See, whatever girl he's been with, he's morphed to be like them. Like, you look at him in his Gwyneth days.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
then, you know, he's, and his Angelina days now is sort of going a bit more kind of hard-edged.
So
a bit more vampire.
Insane. Yeah, I was going to say that. He's got a new a film coming out. I can't remember the documentation, but it's got a very long name and it's about...
Yeah, Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward somebody.
Yeah, they're saying, can you shorten the name and make it into a normal cowboy movie, please?
Please.
They've got the guy to Chopper to do it.
Yeah. Chopper is great. What's he done since? Nothing except this.
Mm. But he's come up with something very Terrence Malick and arty and lyrical and poetic.
That's not what they want.
And they just want, you know...
Just a standard Western.
Right. Shooting up the joint.
Looking windswept.
And apparently everyone on the film has done their own cut of the movie.
Brad has his own cut.
Really?
Andrew Dominic has his own cut. The caterers have done
one. I saw theirs.
It's mostly just food stuff.
It is.
But it tells the Jesse James story.
It does. Through
in the background.
Through the medium of source, which I like.
Hey, is there a... So your husband, or sorry, am I using the wrong word?
Well, he's not technically my husband, but I think, I think 10 years in and with a child, you know, the likelihood of us going a separate ways at this point is
not in God's language. You know
I'm not trying to wangle a TV week answer out of you, Jane. It's not that kind of show.
You could make some money, Jane. If you have a wedding, you could get in the... Libby Linton movable tent.
That's my dream.
Hey, John, have you had to do any of those, like, just a super mum at home kind of advertorials where it's like you lying on a bed with a child?
No, I haven't. No. I mean, you know, but I'm just waiting for, you know, that would be my dream come true.
Really?
A diaper commercial.
But what I was leading to is I'm thinking, okay, he's the Mitre 10 bloke. Who do Bunnings have?
They've got everyone. Well, everyone who's ever worked at Bunnings in their entire life.
Yeah.
Oh,
right. they're just going with everyone, just going, oh, someone, please, you know.
Well, a real people angle.
So there's not really like a rivalry between, you know, him and someone.
Like Pepsi Cola Wars, really.
Home Hardware, is that they have the
dogs,
the plasticine dogs?
Oh,
dogs, Dave.
Imagine if they got together.
Squishing those glasses.
No.
Poor little flea.
That's Greg Fleet.
That's Greg Fleet. Leave him alone.
And Big Plume. Plume and Fleet. You know, you say you play Nolan Brown, yes. You look a bit like it. Do you look like anyone else, Jane? Do you ever get mistaken for somebody else?
I've been mistaken for Joe Parrish a couple of times.
Is you Phillips?
Is you Phillips? Is that a compliment?
It's the only name I can think of.
Everyone in this room gets mistaken for somebody else. Yep. We're going to talk about that next and find out who the listeners get mistaken for. On Get This.
Let me just cut me on the shoulder if I ever do that, will you?
Get This, of course, it is around the nation on Triple M. Jane Allsop is with us. She can be seen in The King on Foxtel on TV1 this Sunday night.
She's 8:30.
Already identified Richard Marsland as a Jason Bateman lookalike.
Not a bad one.
Good to see you're an Arrested Development fan.
Yeah, love it.
Yes.
You know what I love about that show? Joe caught on. I saw it at a supermarket the other day. Now, when they're selling DVDs or something in the supermarket at Coles,
next to Rugrats Go Wild.
You know it's gone big.
I saw Ladybugs there a little while ago. Ladybugs with Rodney Dangerfield.
Which was the first cross-dressing soccer film.
Yeah, it's true.
No, don't be fooled by, what was that one with, what's her name?
Bend It Like Beckham.
Yeah.
Bend It Like Rodney.
And, she's all that? No, not that one.
Cross-dressing soccer film.
Well, not cross.
How many cross-dressing soccer films
there
are there?
There was a very recent one. It was a very recent one. I'll get to it in a bit.
We'll sort that out by the end of the show. But what we're leading to is
lookalikes who he gets mistaken for. I mean, I have the same old list every time. Obviously, Wes Wally, yeah. Obviously, Warwick Fairfax, obviously, Andrew McCarthy. But
my friend pretended for about a decade, certainly during Marcus Graham's heyday.
Yeah, that'd be
Wheels. Pretended to be, that's right, that was his real height of it. Pretended to be Marcus Graham for about a decade.
And used that
to pick up.
How'd he go?
He did very well.
Oh, yeah. All for that. All for that.
Does he really look like him, or?
Sort of.
He got away with sort of.
Yeah, sort of. Look, you know, nightclub, dark, a little bit dark.
Yeah. How dark? Right, right. All right, sweet. Brilliant. I'm going to hang around dark rooms saying I'm Patrick Stewart. See how I go.
Make it so.
Go with me. So many bad lookalikes. I knew a guy in the 80s who was not really mistaken for, but certainly looked like Judge Reinhold.
Oh, wow. Judge Reinhold.
Not bad.
Beverly Hills Cop. He wasn't very happy with his young people. Think I'm Judge Reinhold, and I remember saying, that'll pass.
Yeah.
That'll go away. About 92.
You should be right.
That will stop.
Judge Reinhold.
In
Arrested Development.
In Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Playing the host of a show called Judge Reinhold. It's like Judge Judy.
Judge Judy.
That's how good that show is. Check it out. It's in the supermarket now.
And William Hungary, if I remember correctly.
That's right.
The American Idol.
Okay, Mr. Martin, anyone else?
Or Ed.
Can I throw up our friend Paco?
Page in Melbourne.
Have a look on the old Triple M website. He's got a touch of the Willem Dafoe's about him. He's got a touch of Willem Dafoe.
A little, yeah. A little.
Okay. Willem Dafoe, if you're trying to do, I haven't quite mastered it, but the formula for an impression of Willem Dafoe is one part Jack Nicholson, one part Liberace.
Really?
Combine the two in a blender and it's like, I can't quite get it, but it's, you got to go back and go like that with your teeth.
Keep working on that.
That's
what we can do, my friend.
Liberace plus Nicholson equals Dafoe. Mr. Marsden, anyone else?
Ileana Douglas. But
Ileana Douglas.
Now, I had a friend who looked a lot like Bill Paxton. Bill Paxton from Aliens.
Aliens. We're all going to die, man.
And I keep on trying to get him to say the immortal line from Club Dread, do you think Eddie Money has to put up with this? No one gets it. No one understands. And I stumbled across John Ritter. And they're making a film about Bill Hicks. This is getting very niche.
Yeah.
The famous comedian Bill Hicks.
Yes.
John Ritter would have been perfect.
Would have been great, but no longer available.
Yeah. That's true.
My friend looks like Gary Eyre a bit with that, you know.
Who's Gary
Eyre?
But does he use it to his advantage?
No, probably not.
He could just punch cabbies and then be like, Gary, that's what we do.
You're right, Gary. Thanks, mate.
Is that what Gary Eyre does, though?
Oh, sorry.
Do we know?
No, sorry, we'll take that back.
Sorry about that. We're on very shaky ground with footballers and mention. Ileana Douglas gang.
Wait. I met a guy the other day that had a perfect double lookalike for Shane Bourne and Clark.
Oh, we love the double. Mm. You do this, Jane? Mm-hmm. The double lookalike.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
Oh, it's so much fun. Two
in one.
What about Tony Llewellyn Jones, wonderful actor from GP Days, a mixture of the bad guy from The Hills Have Eyes and Tommy Cooper?
Now we've lost everybody.
We've had 12 callers about the cross-dressing soccer film.
Have we?
She's the man.
Thank you.
Is that a Freddie Prinze?
I think he was involved in...
No, he wasn't. No, but I think David Cross.
Oh, he played the principal.
From Arrested Development.
Was in it.
See, it all ties back.
Certainly does. Does the guy who gets mistaken for Bill Paxton occasionally get mistaken for Bill Pullman?
No, but he's...
Galen?
People trying to find the name.
Galen, because Ed goes to the gym where there's this guy.
The saddest man in the universe, you know who you are, is the guy who, when, you know, working the gun. People, I saw someone go up to him and go, mate, are you Galen? And he's like, yeah, mate, I am. Well, and I'm not. I'm not. No, actually, I'm not, mate. But people say that to me all the time, and it's awesome. I play it up.
It's time to get the listeners on board. Surely we can't go sadder than that. Who do you, or someone you know, has been called in the stadium for my glory by bringing get this on Triple M. Jane Allsop is with us, and we're saying, who do you get mistaken for? Or who does someone else get mistaken for, Ed?
Oh, hello there, Mike. How are you?
Hello. Pretty good. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm excellent, sir. And what? Who do you get? Who do you look like?
Alfred E. Newman, the guy from the Mad magazine. I like people to pick up on it, right? But I'm very frustrated. I don't think it's just one person perpetuating it somewhere.
Oh, you think it's just someone pushing that barrow? Do you have the freckles on the nose?
Yeah. Well, it didn't until a couple of years ago.
No.
He had them removed.
The blast shaved off. What about, you know, Christmas cards? Have you taken advantage of this and recreated some of the famous Mad covers?
No.
No, no, that's just going to make it worse.
Yeah, fair enough, Mike.
Do you know who else has got a hint of Alfred E. Newman? Brand. From Todd and Brand.
That's to the E. Newman. That's
to the E. Newman.
Thanks, Mike.
What's this looking like?
Guy, how are you?
I'm very well, and how about yourself?
Mate, I'm excellent. Who do you look like?
I've been, well, back in the 80s, I was told that I had a passing resemblance to Anthony Michael Hall.
Much like the man himself.
And have you, you know, followed his progress and sort of bulked up in a weird kind of Gary Busey way, like how he did?
Well, no, now, I mean, most of my hair's fallen out, and now I sort of get the occasional Bruce Willis comment.
Oh, you've gone over.
You're moving up, though. I think that's a better...
Good on you, Guy.
Yeah.
That's a better class of being a celebrity.
Yeah.
Hi, Brendan. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, thanks.
And who do you get, young man?
Oh, I don't get it. It's one of my friends. Oh, yeah? Warney all the time.
Yeah, that's good. Got a couple of guys here. Sure.
He's got a Buckley. If I'm hurt,
he's got what? Sorry,
Buckley.
He's got
Buckley.
The football player called Buckley.
Yeah.
Oh, it's quite a man.
And then there's that bloke in the Big Brother house, Travis. He's very warny.
He's got a ton of warnings about him. Yeah. Is he very? Has he got the bleach blonde hair and the permanent tan happening?
That's the problem.
Oh, that's the problem. There you go. There you go, Brendan. Well spotted.
Who else is looking like someone else?
Aaron, how are you?
How you going, guys?
Excellent. Who looks like who?
Well, I was accused by a drunken Irishman in a pub of looking like Bernard Black from Black Books.
Oh,
well,
you're on fire.
You're just drunk Irishman Dylan Mullen.
But the thing is, I don't actually look anything like him, but I dress very similar to the character.
Oh, yes.
That's exactly why. And he just annoyed me all night for about 4 hours.
And the ladies love him,
Dylan Moran.
Yeah. Look, Nikki's nodding.
Oh, really? You like him as well, Nikki?
That's why she kept trying to book him back.
Aaron, are you emo at all?
Not at all, no.
No, sorry about that. I'm trying to get a handle on it.
Are you a fan of Dylan Moran?
No, look, I'm not really. Not overly.
I think he does like a drink, and the ladies love him, but they're always shocked when you point out that he's like 33 or something.
He's quite young, Dylan Moran.
Didn't know that.
Hi, Leanne.
Going in hard.
Leanne, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Excellent.
I've got two. One was Monica Celeste.
You look like Monica Celeste?
Yes. Right. And every time I used to go around, everyone used to go, all the time.
Wow. Very inventive. Good.
Yeah. And the other one is, in the mid-90s, because I'm very short, I'm under 5 foot, yes. I always get called Dickie Knee, because all you can see was the top of my head.
I guess it makes it harder for the German stabbing bloke to find you. So that's how
missing you over the top.
And do you do a dicky knee at all, Leanne?
No, not
good.
At all.
Very well.
Yeah.
Good decision.
Mr. Summit, stop it.
Oh, wow, Rich found a win.
Of course he did. I had one about his person.
When I was growing up, I thought dicky knee was hysterical. It was the height of comedy when I was growing up.
Just to get Molly Meldrum a good one.
Yeah, he would imply that Molly was gay better than anyone else I've heard.
My goodness. I think he's been too quiet for too long. I think Dickie Knee should be back, but just showing up on things like the news.
Where are they now? Excellent. There we go. Thank you, Leanne. Hi, Troy. How are you?
Hey, young girl.
Ooh, great, man. What happened? Well, who do you look like?
My best mate looks exactly like Chad Kroeger from Nickelback.
Springy dyed hair and the awful moustache happening?
Mate, if you put the two together, you wouldn't split them apart.
Really?
It is dead set scary how good they look apart.
And what's he singing like? How does he sing?
Mate, he just thinks like a rock star, pulls in the cheeks, lives it up.
the back of a Nickelback lookalike. That's horrible.
He's Jay Krug all over, just put it that way.
You know what you could do, Troy? You could do yourself up as a blower from Hinder and go out together and really score. How about that?
I'll tell you now, a month ago we did one better. Yeah. We, because I'm a bouncer, and I got a few of my bouncer mates, we went into Newcastle, New South Wales for a night, hired a Tarago, and we pretended that he actually was Chad Kruger, being to Bud. Guess what?
What?
It worked.
Right.
It worked. He was bobbled and rained on by stones for hours on end.
Good on you, Troy. Well done, sir. Well done. I'm sure we have to cut him off there. He was starting to tell the rest of that story, and I'm sure we can't put it to air.
No, I know where it was going, though.
Scott.
Trampoline.
Scott, how are you?
Good, guys. Yourself?
Oh, we're excellent, mate. What do you got for us? Who do you look like?
Mate, I don't look like anyone, but I think Ed, yourself and Richard should come clean that you guys are actually, or the guy at Desperate Housewives is actually your love child.
Oh, yes. That
was creepy. He's lost the glasses since he came back in the show. I reckon he's dead set the love child of Ed and Richard.
Really?
What's going on?
Richard, I often wonder what our children would look like.
What have you guys been doing during the break?
Just picking up some little cocktails here. We're looking for a surrogate.
The Cavalier gene is quite overwhelming.
Yeah.
What was that, Scott?
You were looking for a two-by, so...
Yeah, that was a good right. Super.
Absolutely right. Thank you. That's thank you very much, Scott.
Fine. I'm afraid that's all we've got time for.
Imagine we had a kid, Rich.
What a hilarious sitcom we ensue.
Any problems at all?
Would you call it pavement?
Yeah.
Pavement heavily.
I think Jane also doesn't want to have
that union. Let's go to a song and hose out our minds. Here again. Let's suspend Dr. Sue Brinkley
here and hear this on Triple M. Jane Allsop is with us. Jane, here's a question for you.
Kate
Houston, who's a woman, has written in to say...
A woman?
Okay. I feel like I should point that out at the beginning of this, because he says, I had the misfortune of catching the tail end of McLeod's Daughters tonight and clued into what I think is a uniquely Australian phenomenon. I have never seen a female mechanic in real life. Yet Australian TV is littered with them. Charlene, Rebecca Gibney in A Country Practice, and now some chick at Drover's Run. Let's not forget Tammy McIntosh and Bingles. Female mechanics all over. Have you ever played one?
No. Mm. No. It's outrageous, though. Sure. I mean, it just needs to be. I mean, women shouldn't be portrayed having any profession.
That's right.
They just should be in the home. Side of the kitchen. Of the kitchen sink.
That's what Bill Heppenin told me. I'm sure there are female mechanics. I'm sure it's out there.
Are you sure?
No.
Yep.
Because I take my car to one of those places where it's like, you know, you just go there when the number comes up in the book.
Yeah.
And it's all scientists in white coats. You know that? Just like in the ad. Car is just whisked up into the ceiling. And something happens to it.
$900 later.
It's not like Bingles. Not like Bingles. Okay, so that's going on. All right, let's see, we're covering the big issues here.
And it's interesting, just how you pointed out that Kate is actually a woman.
Yeah.
My son is named Indy, after Indiana Jones.
Wow, well done.
Now, why is it, can people please, now I admit Indiana is a girl or a boy's name.
Oh, yeah.
But Indiana, you know, Indiana Jones being surely the most famous Indiana of all time. Why is it that everyone tells me Indiana? Oh, I thought it was a girl.
Anna's on the end.
Yeah, no.
Anna bit on the end.
But, you know, Indiana Jones is no girl.
That's true.
He's a very manly man.
He's very boy. Is he going to have the theme music just in a little iPod on his belt?
Yep, and he's going to wear the outfit constantly from about 5 years old.
Save the bins out.
All right. Dun-dun-dun. That's forever. I mentioned Bill Heppenin, and I'm sorry to soil the atmosphere, but I'm about to do it again because A.G. Bennett has emailed us, and this took me about a week to work out what he was talking of. Listen to this. Can I hear that John Howard segment again where he couldn't work out who was saying what? Sure.
Sorry?
It was from a week ago, and I think this is what he's talking about. Are you ready?
Yes.
I
have a series of statements in front of me, some of them made by your close personal friend, Senator Bill Heffernan.
Wonderful man.
Some of them by controversial Muslim cleric Sheikh Al-Halali.
Boo!
Are you ready?
Fire away!
Statement number one. Women are inferior to men and should stay in the kitchen where they belong.
Oh, look, I don't know why the Islamic community don't deserve this disgraceful so-called mufti out on his head.
That was actually Senator Heffernan.
Oh, sometimes he grabs, chooses his words carelessly, but he's merely presenting one view. Not everyone has to agree with it.
Statement number two. Homosexuals are an inferior breed and should not be allowed to hold positions of power.
Like I say, we live in a free society. Now, not everyone will agree with the Senator's view, but I, for one, will defend his part.
That was actually Sheikh Al-Halali speaking.
Oh, if he doesn't like it here, he should leave the country. Those comments are disgusting.
Statement number three. We simply have too many Asians in this country. They're in danger of taking over. It may have been Sheikh Halali.
Appalling, disgraceful, inflammatory comments clearly designed to stir up trouble.
Or it may have been Senator Heffernan.
Part certainly reflective of the view held by many mainstream Australians.
Well, is it Heffernan or Halali?
It's too hard to call the comment as both inexcusable and understandable.
Well, it was in fact a trick question. Those words were actually spoken last night by Kerry O'Brien.
Disgraceful, appalling.
And he was, of course, quoting Pauline Hanson.
Oh, look, people may not agree with Pauline, but I think it's healthy we debate these issues.
Statement number four. Someone was responsible for the Cronulla riots, and it certainly wasn't white people.
Well, it doesn't sound like either of them. Is this another curveball?
No, it's definitely one or the other. Which is it? Heffernan or Halali?
Well, obviously the Sheikh wouldn't say that. I guess in this instance, Bill is simply reflecting what a lot of people out there are thinking.
No, unlikely as it may seem, those words were spoken last week by Sheikh Al-Halali at Lakemba Mosque.
It's an animal.
The Sheikh was quoting directly from the Alan Jones program.
A wonderful program. Alan simply expresses what so many are frightened to say in our politically correct society.
Jones was there reading out words rather uncharacteristically spoken by Australian of the Year, Tim Flannery.
Appalling sentiments. He should be stripped of his title.
But Flannery was in fact reporting a quote expressed to him by Senator Ross Lightfoot.
Well, sometimes it's important for unfashionable, even distasteful views to be brought to the table.
Lightfoot himself was reading a transcript from last week's 7:30 report.
Propaganda, filth, lies!
Where the words were spoken by right-wing commentator Janet Albrechtson.
Thoughtful, reasoned, decent.
And finally, statement number five. There is no such thing as global warming. It's a lot of leftist hocus-pocus straight out of Noddy Land.
Oh, that person must be feeling pretty foolish now. It was me, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Could you have them bring the car round?
Misunderstood.